Did you ever wonder what it would be like to own your own professional sports franchise? Well, we can't offer you that, but we can offer you the chance to compete in thoroughbred racing at its highest levels. Black Type Thoroughbreds is a new public partnership that can put you in the winner's circle. For more information about thoroughbred ownership, contact Jake Ballas of Black Type Thoroughbreds. Go to blacktypetb.com for more information. That web address, once again, is blacktypetb.com. You're listening to the In the Money Players Podcast. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you from the Little House on the East Side, once again joined in person by a man whose legend is growing by the day. It's horrifying walking across Saratoga Racecourse, or really anywhere in Saratoga with him now. People complimenting him, congratulating him. They just want to shake his hand. He's the people's champion, Jonathan Kitchen. JK, what's up?
Oh,
you like that one? Yeah, you like that one?
I can't ever tell if they're looking at me because I have these ridiculous shorts on or if they see me on TV.
Shorts or shirt? I mean, it could be either.
Well, when I'm on the show, I wear ridiculous shirts, but I wear shorts. Oh, Austin
agrees.
He agrees. I have on silly shorts the rest of the time. So.
Oh, my goodness. It's been a fun summer. I can't believe. What do we have, 5 weeks in the books? More. 5 weeks and a day in the books?
We did the math last night, right? We have 15 more days left of racing.
That's not hideous. Back in the day, it was only 24 days total. You'd be happy with 15.
So we're less than halfway through.
Yeah. No. That's a JK tries math fails, I'm afraid.
But
Or JK gets very creative with math and succeeds. It depends on how you look at it. Very happy to have you here. A little bit later in the show, we're going to be hearing from our friends at Monmouth and Woodbine. But we've got a few minutes with you to kick things off amidst your crazy busy schedule. And, we got to let people know about the Monster Pod. Del Mar Pacific Classic Day being billed as the biggest card in Del Mar history, JK, with its 5 graded stakes. We've got full coverage over on a special Del Mar Monster podcast. I imagine you, as somebody who prides himself on being bi-coastal, will be getting very involved in both of these cards on each coast come Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I love both meets. It was always a dream of mine to be able to spend an entire summer at one or the other. Just so happened that Saratoga came first. It's our premier race meets in this country, and it highlights the West Coast racing and the East Coast racing at each place. So I'm excited about the cross country pick five that they have available that they're going to be offering on Saturday. It's going to have the Lake George here at Saratoga, the Alabama here at Saratoga, the Del Mar Handicap, the Del Mar Oaks, and the Pacific Classic. So all graded stakes, 15% takeout. So I'm excited about that. And definitely we'll be getting involved.
Maybe we can get out on that cross-country pick five. What do you think?
I'm going to try not to be in, if you know what I mean, at that point.
You're going to be out and up at that point and just look to pad the profit.
Hopefully you
don't end up like our friend Benny South Street. You'll hear this story on the Monster Pod, selling things on eBay to bet horses now.
Well, he it's what he deserves. It's what he deserves.
He's part Andy Beyer, part Marie Kondo with the decluttering as he picks his horses. Anyway, let's start off. We're not going to start off with that cross-country pick five because there's a stakes race at Saratoga before we get there. It goes as race number 8. It's the Smart and Fancy, JK. Curious to see if you had a thought in this one. Timeform predicts that this one will favor a horse on or near the early lead. I feel like every 5.5 furlong turf race, especially up here, does that anyway. Is that going to lead you to an old friend or somebody new?
First of all, let me say this. In my life, I have never rooted for rain and off the turf. Ever. I'm hoping there's enough rain that they decide the 5.5 turf sprints are too much. They'll take those off, and we can see Ladies Island MTO for the Matisse boys and Avril Racing show up here and try to defend her unbelievable performance that she had. She's entered MTO in this race. Obviously, we don't want rain, but if it happens, we'll be rooting for her. Morticia's going to be the most overbet horse in the history of horse racing. She's a universal bad trip horse.
It was a strange trip last time.
It's actually been an example I've used when we talk about jockeys and decision making and so on and so forth. And I think some analysts are harder on jockeys. I try to be less difficult because I think a lot of the decisions they make, it's very similar to like Tony Romo back in his day. He would make these decisions that would win football games, but then a week later he'd make that exact same decision and would lose a football game for him. I think Tyler made a mistake, but it was a mistake that could have worked out for him. He pulled the horse back and got unlucky and then got into traffic and then looked like an idiot for the ride, when in reality it could have been a brilliant move that possibly he could have made another time and he wouldn't have looked like an idiot. So I try not to be over the top. The problem is this horse is going to be unbelievably overbet because everyone in the world saw that trip.
She made my horse to watch list and I can't get off of her. Where are you going?
I'm going to take a look at Fire Key, who sat off of that kind of slow pace where they let Mamanu get loose in the Caress in that race, the same race. And she was outside that day. She'll be inside this time. Jose Ortiz is riding out of his mind at the moment. And I've seen Jose give about 3 or 4 perfect pocket trip rides on turf horses. He did it once on a Shug horse a couple weeks ago to close out a pick five. And I can think of a couple times he's done it. He's made my bad pick on the show be a good pick because he gave a perfect ride. And I think he'll do the same thing with Fire Key. Sit in there. Very confidently and comfortably down on the inside and hopefully be able to produce a run. Oh, don't get me wrong. Morticia can win and could win and might win and probably will win. It's unfortunate Tyler's off. I don't think that he really deserved to get taken off, but they just went back to Irad, who had run on her previously. And Irad is another one who's riding out of his mind. I don't expect him to make a similar mistake.
Well, you said something about the bad pick on the show that became a good pick. You need to explain what you're talking about there.
I was coy because you always get mad at me when I say, what was that horse's name? Because I can't remember the horse's name. I've watched so many races up here that
Fair.
Jose was the 2 horse. I was on the show with Andy. He didn't like my pick. The pick wasn't the best horse in the race, but I thought Jose might give me a good trip. And he gave me an absolutely perfect trip in the horse one.
He is catching so much money. I mean, I swear, in the last couple of days, and we had this experiment that unfortunately I think got superseded by another experiment that John Camardo was working on about dutching the Ortiz brothers and how it would have worked out for the first half of the meet, which I think would have been very well. Now I'm going to wager from here forward it's not going to work out well. Because anytime I see a horse, I'm like, why in the world is that horse only 6-1? It's an Ortiz. They're catching so much money.
And they're catching a lot of fortunate situations. In the race actually prior to this, I'll give you a little quick nugget, race 7, apparently Todd Pletcher's best 2-year-old is running in race 7, a horse by the name of Candy Tycoon. Did you see who got the mount there? Because Johnny Velasquez is out of town.
I did not. Which one?
Jose Ortiz.
There you go. I could have guessed that in one. I mean, at the worst, I had a 50-50 chance. But Jose,
you should just said Ortiz.
Yeah, Ortiz. Oh, that's amazing. All right, well, that's a good little bit of info I wasn't going to get if you didn't volunteer. It wasn't sure how deeply you'd looked into all this card beyond the stakes. But the next stake, and we think the kickoff of these cross-country pick 5, is the Lake Placid. You know me, JK. I'm a huge Varenka booster. Will she get it done on Saturday?
I think this is going to be a blowout is back race. Blowout was beaten that ridiculously run 3 Chad Brown. Not Chad Brown's fault. There's other people that scratched in there. Wayne Catalano scratched. I don't think that was his problem. Wesley Ward scratched. He does that all the time. Blowout got beaten that race and who I liked the most. If you put a line through that, go back to the Wild Applause at Belmont. If Blowout runs that race, Varenka can't warm her up. Now, Varenka's performance last time was phenomenal.
Harsh. That seems a little
harsh.
Well,
I'm just saying, from a speed figure standpoint, there's a big edge to Blowout. And it is Chad Brown and it is Saratoga. So Blowout will be my top pick here. Don't get me wrong, I'm not getting beat by Varenka, but these are deeper waters for her. And I'm very curious, though, to see how Varenka's going to handle this inside trip. Because she didn't get an inside trip last time. She was wide as ever. So this might actually be her coming out party. Those are really the only 2 I need. I think Regal Glory got lucky last time just from the circumstances of that race. I think she was the 3rd best horse in the race in a 3-horse race, and she actually got the job done. But those are the only 2 that I need are Varenka in case she jumps up and reminds me how she is a really special filly, and Blowout. who I think is one of the best in Chaz Bourne.
I do need to ask you why you thought the winner was third best in that race. What were the circumstances that make you say that? There might be something instructive there.
I just think that Regal Glory took Blowout and the one that's running on the West Coast. Her name is, I got it, Dog Tag. I think she took them, and Pete didn't have to edit that. I got that in that,
that's
in that
true.
Short of time.
I was getting ready. I was writing the note down to make the edit.
I think that just the dynamics of that race gave Regal Glory an advantage. It just turned into like an eighth of a mile sprint because no one was sticking it to one another. They were just all in a pack together, and that happened to help Regal Glory that day. I think a more truly run race, one of the other two would have beat her.
Okay, let's talk about the featured race, the race that gives the weekend its name. Some people, this is their favorite weekend to come up here because you get a ton of good energy. You get some great racing, not quite as crazy as the Travers. And another nice thing about Alabama weekend is you leave, it's over, you've experienced one of the signature weekends of Saratoga, and you still have so much to come. It's the Grade 1 Alabama. JK, is this one going to be all about Dunbar Road, or do you think there could be a fly in the ointment?
I don't want Dunbar Road at all. I think I'm going to try to get cute in this situation and toss her completely.
Wow. Tell me why.
First, she's going to be on the rail. So I can't really it's kind of a full field. I mean, not a huge full field, but I can't envision how she's going to get off of that inside. And I think Jose will probably just end up kind of getting stuck down in there. I absolutely love Point of Honor.
That's the one I was going to mention. I'll let you
make
the case.
Quarter's going to be perfect for her. She has Ricardo Santana and Lady Apple drawn to the inside, who has some legit speed. She's got Brad Cox's filly, Eulalie, who's got some speed. I worry if Joelle's going to go there or not. There's plenty of horses in here that I think will be forward, and it's a mile and a quarter. She almost ran down, in my opinion, the best three-year-old filly in the country in Guarana, who was loose at a mile and an eighth. Now going a mile and a quarter with hopefully more pace, I think she's going to be entirely too difficult to beat. She's a grinding type of filly. That's how she won the Black Eyed Susan, and she was trying to beat Guarana in the coaching club. I think she's going to be tough in here. It won't be a full single. It will be a heavy press. I'll use Champagne Anyone as well, who's another filly that I think is extremely talented. And I don't knock Chris Landeros for what he tried to do. I thought it was smart in the coaching club American Oaks. He tried to kind of get involved in the race early for a filly that wants to come from out of it, and it just kind of happened to backfire on him. But I like that idea. I like that approach. If he was going to beat Guarana and the coaching club American Oaks, that was the only way he was going to beat her. He would have got the same situation that happened to Point of Honor, take back, make one run, and not good enough to catch her who was loose. So I think she's going to run better this time too. So those are the only two I really need.
Amazing.
If Dunbar Road beats me, she beats me.
It seems too bold. I don't get it really. And it seems out of your character for one who has the strong figures, has won easily at 1-5, overcoming no setup last time. I can't believe you're not going to at least save the way that you play this game. I just don't understand why. I mean, look, I get it from a value point of view. I get using defensively, and obviously Point of Honor is my pick, so I get that completely. But to be completely against Dunbar Road, I just don't even know where this is coming from.
Well, for me, when being up here for 25 days so far, 25 race days here, you realize that this meet is simply about Chad Brown, and it's about zigging and zagging with Chad. You either single him or you beat him, and beating him is how you make money, and singling him is how you advance without wasting money on trying to beat him, if that makes sense. You mentioned something that's very important. Yes, she was 1-5 in the Mother Goose because she beat a bunch of horses that couldn't beat Austin in a race, right? Classic Fit, 17-1. Jeltran, 7-1. Cassie's
Fit.
Dreamer, Softa, Wings of Dawn. Like, I don't even know if any of those horses have ever won a graded stakes race. So I just have no, she didn't beat anyone, and she's going to be buried down on the rail, and she's going to be the favorite. And if I can beat her with two fillies that I think want the mile and a quarter, that I think have been battle tested in real races against real horses, then I think there's a great opportunity there.
You and Benny might have to go head to head with Classic Fit, who we'll get to in a minute as we go out to Del Mar. And we're going to start off with a very quick look at a race that is not in the pick six, but it is a graded stake on a day we're going to be paying attention. And we've got some super familiar names in the green flash. How do you see that one, JK?
I can tell you one thing for sure. My strongest opinion is undrafted has absolutely no shot. And another thing I'll do is I would say he's probably 75% to scratch. Wesley likes to enter horses. And they don't always run. And I can pick on Wesley because he reminded us about that freak that he had yesterday in
Kamari.
So, look, I mean, to me, this race is about the champion, Stormy Liberal. How do you argue with what that horse has accomplished, back-to-back Breeders' Cup turf sprints? I think he'll be extremely tough. And like I said, I think people will look to undrafted from name recognition, but he's got absolutely no shot in this race.
And you say that mainly as a function of pace and just sort of track profile.
Pace and going five furlong.
Yeah.
Undrafted needs seven.
Yeah. Or like a ton of pace, which, you know, there will be pace, but you know, I don't think there's going to be enough to bring his stamina into play. Let's move along, JK, to race number seven as we begin. We won't make you do the whole pick six. Folks can listen to the Monster Pod for that. The pick six starts in race six, but come race seven, the second leg and this barrage of graded stakes in a row, the Del Mar Handicap, what are you thinking?
I like United. I thought United ran well last time in that allowance race. I liked the horse when he ran in the Charles Whittingham. I just think that horse is progressing in the right direction. He's got Flavian Pratt, who obviously rides the turf course, and frankly, every course out there better than most of the riders that are out there. So I think United is one that could offer a little bit of value, just, you know, kind of stepping up from that allowance win. And then It's in the Post, who ran on the dirt last time and was beat that day, but really has no business on the dirt. You know, I think that it might have been kind of a setup for this. And I've found that horses who prepare on the dirt, run on the dirt, are often grittier, tougher types when they get back onto the turf. And I just feel like It's in the Post could be dangerous. But it's important to note that It's in the Post has never won at Del Mar. I don't know if he doesn't like the beach or what, but, you know, I think he's won that should be dangerous in that spot. But for my top pick, I'll go with United.
Race eight is the Torrey Pines. This is the one that Benny had the strong opinion on, the horse that you dismissed when we were talking about Dunbar Road. He's a classic fit fan. How do you see this one?
Yeah, Benny likes losing. He enjoys that.
Oh my goodness. That's harsh.
If Kim K runs the race she ran at Churchill Downs when Peter Miller could not find a win, she can't be beat. She's drawn outside. That's exactly where you want to be at Del Mar. Outside speed is like one of the most difficult trips it's not the most difficult trip to overcome. It's a bad horse in that trip can beat you, is what I'm saying. And you know, I think Kim K will get that trip. And so I think that horse is going to be extremely tough in this spot, drawn outside. And had an excuse last time, was buried down on the inside at Indiana. And I don't think that's where you wanted to be, Indiana Oaks Day. And I think she's going to run much better in this spot. Peter Miller has 11 wins, I think, 28%.
Up to 12, but I do see the same percentage in the stuff that I'm looking at.
There it is.
Why do you suppose they call that filly Kim K?
I know why you think that. And I talked to someone who knows about horses, and they said that's not true.
Interesting.
That looked at the horse.
Interesting.
You're not getting me in trouble, by the way.
I was trying to get you in trouble.
I thought that's why. Yeah. And I asked someone who
had to be a lot going on behind the saddle. That was my implication. But if for those who missed it, but it sounds like that's not the case. Or maybe, you know, when at the time one gets their name, and the horses do change physically, so there could be something there. Anyway, I was only trying to get you in trouble. You like to spar with people on Twitter these days, actually, you don't spar anymore. You just hit block, which I respect.
No, I usually DM the last word and then hit block, which is a double whammy.
I will just say this. You know, we try to represent our friends and do things in many ways. I don't appreciate being told when I'm supposed to be speaking out, regardless of, you know, especially in a public forum. It's like if you think, hey, Pete, JK, you know, maybe you could use your forum to help with this, and you reach out to me privately, like, I'm going to listen to you. But when you essentially call me out in a public forum, you're going to get the mute button every time, pal. Okay, let's talk about race nine. It's the Del Mar Oaks. Where are you going to go here, JK?
So you're telling me there's a grade one grass race in California, and you're telling me that Chad Brown brought two horses over, and then you're telling me that you need me to give you a selection?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's, in terms of your wagering strategy, is it, are you dutching Cambier Park here along with Dog Tag, or are you doing anything more sophisticated? Are you using any of the locals?
I think Cambier Park is the one that I want. I find it curious that Cambier Park didn't try Concrete Rose in the Saratoga Oaks, but I think there's a reason why that didn't happen, and I'm forgiving it. It's because this year the Saratoga Oaks is not graded. So when you're trying to make a brood mare and you're trying to add value to your mares for your owners, Cambier Park's value will go up significantly if she wins a grade one. So that, to me, is why that race was skipped and why it was such a small field, not to mention
distance.
Concrete Roses in there.
Distance would have been my guess.
Distance, too, but Cambier Park ran good at the mile and a quarter.
She ran well enough, but, I mean, she looked a little flat late and didn't look like she was going to be beating Concrete Rose anytime soon, I'd say. So you get a chance to go to the West Coast, not have to face that gorilla. And, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, though, that the grading plays into it, but I feel like there's sort of reasons 1 and 1A for me.
Yeah, and Dog Tag, obviously, is another one that she was in that three-horse race out here. I guess I would go with Cambier Park. Johnny came out. That horse, Cambier Park, was close to Concrete Rose, beat Newspaper of Record. I just think that, you know, she'll get the kind of inside trip with Johnny and the finish, and I just think she's probably the one I would pick. But I would not use Dog Tag. And my heart will be rooting like heck when they turn for home for Hard Legacy and Mary Lou Whitney. That'll be fun to see her try to get a win out on the West Coast. The irony of her next win coming at Del Mar and not at Saratoga. But still, it'd be great to see those soaks in the winner's circle.
Yeah, what a story that would be. Let's do a little thought experiment, putting sentiment aside. We live in a fixed odds betting world on horses, JK, and there's a without Chad Brown market in the Del Mar Oaks. Who's your selection?
Hard Legacy. Okay. Norm had pointed to this spot. I had chips and queso with Norm one night at Churchill back in June. And this was the plan all along, Del Mar.
Interesting.
In fact, I forgot about this. I'm glad you asked me. When I asked him, I said, really? So, like, Mary Lou doesn't want you to run at Saratoga so she can watch? And he said, no, she's been great. She said I can do whatever I wanted to do with the filly.
That's great.
And that's obviously before she left us. So that's I'll be rooting for that horse, and that's who I would. And also, I mean, tactical. She's fast. She ran well in the Regret. She beat Varinka that day. She also beat the other filly, Winter Sunset, who comes from that freaky family of Phillips fillies.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she's talented enough. She's forward. She gets Julian. You see what Julian can do when he gets on the front end.
I like it. I wasn't sure if you were going pure sentiment there, but you make a good handicapping case. Now I'm going to try to get you in trouble again. What restaurant were you having the queso and chips with Norm?
Some Mexican spot in Louisville. I can't remember the name of it. I went with Travis Stone and Norm. I can't remember what it was called, but the queso was good. Nothing like the queso up here. Good night.
Oh,
these
it's
people
not,
up here
no,
have
no,
it's not,
not
even the same
yeah,
thing.
No, no. Believe me, you know, I champion East Coast food whenever possible. We don't do queso. We barely do fish tacos, and we don't do queso.
Austin, what do you think about the queso in Saratoga?
I went to one place and it wasn't that good.
He's not a fan.
He's the food critic. We have a new food critic in the Money Empire. We've got we're gonna have Tommy Massis talking and writing about betting strategy. Now we've got Austin Kinchin, AK, as the food critic resident. Race 10, Pacific Classic. This is the race you did at great length over on the Monster Pod. So give us a sentence on it here, and then folks can go listen to your whole logic over there.
Seeking the Soul. I think that this spot was hand-picked, the mile and a quarter. Could have ran in either the mile and eighth Whitney or the mile and an eighth Woodward in Dallas Stewart's, not backyard, but where he's stabled at the moment. He's not out at Del Mar. And the decision to go out there to get the mile and a quarter, I think Seeking the Soul is extremely difficult to beat in this spot, and he'll have pace to run into.
Give me Seeking the Soul and give me Quip. I want the best closer, and I want the one I think is going to be the best of speed, and we'll let the chips fall where they may, and we won't bring any queso for those chips from Saratoga.
No, we will not bring queso.
All right, we actually breezed through, JK, the main body of the card. We've got some special guests coming up, but I think you still have another minute to talk about anything that's on your mind in terms of your third time at Saratoga, another horse somewhere to look at this weekend, or any of the sort of housekeeping stuff that we can talk about as well. I can throw in a few notes on that, but we'll begin with you.
No, I can't really think of anything much. I'm trying to think. Obviously, there's a mandatory payout on the Empire Six on Sunday. So that's something to look forward to this weekend. And then next week is Travers Week. I think it's going to be fun. Fingers are crossed that Maximum Security shows up.
It'd be fun.
I just want to beat him.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think that's the way the wind is blowing. And we're going to end up with three horses in the Travers, all of whom I like so much, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know,
that's why I need him.
Yeah, we need him so then we can play Game Winner, Tacitus. And I like Code of Honor, too. I know you've never been Team Code of Honor, but I'm telling you, I liked what I saw from him the last day.
He's a small horse who needs time. He got his time. I'm going to defer to people that have a better opinion about
how
horse
he's
flesh and how he's moving. And you know, is a small horse at a disadvantage going a mile and a quarter? Some would say no. Some would say yes.
I don't really think so. If he's strong, if you're strong enough.
Were we fooled? Now, we could be fooled. I don't think so. We could be fooled. Did he run well in the Dwyer because he was invited into the race and he wasn't facing much and he mowed them all down? Or did he get moved up in the slop in the Derby with a good inside trip until he got shut off for a second and a half? I don't know. I mean, maybe not. Or maybe he's just a good horse and he wins a race.
There's a lot of questions. He's not one I'm looking forward to opposing. Let's put it that way. I am more of a, you know, I'm not this of this. I've heard very smart people make the Tacitus causes some of his own trouble argument. You know, I don't buy it.
And looking at Bikinis is another horse I'm interested in who got down inside on that bad inside and that sloppy racetrack.
Pointing for the Travers, in fact, not cutting back?
Oh, no. He's going to run in the Travers.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, they saw it your way.
Yeah, he's going to run the Travers. So I think he could run well as well.
We're going to have a ton on the Travers, obviously, next week. Some special stuff coming up this week as well. Don't know if you're around for either of these, but 9:30, Don Julio Bandstand. That's right near Dunkin' Donuts at Saratoga. 9:30, me and Paul Matisse. That's going to be a lot of fun going over the Alabama Day card. We'll get all of his thoughts. He's been on fire with his public picking. Very kind of him to come out and do that once in a while, and we've got that opportunity Saturday. Then approximately 10:15, 10:30. It's not as tight of a timeline this week, so it's probably going to be more like 10:30 at the Brentwood. They're doing their morning happy hour. Very good Bloody Marys. Some delicious Pilsner, to little half a Pilsner to chase the Bloody Mary. We're going to be bringing in bagels again. Me and Dan Torgman from ABR. That's going to be a very fun opportunity to catch up with him. And hopefully, JK, will see you at one or both of those.
Definitely Saturday. But I got other ones I got to check on.
Both Saturday.
Oh, then yeah, most likely. I got A. So I got Austin with me this weekend. So sometimes it changes.
I'm not free willing.
Yeah. I will tell you this. You said Dan Torgman. You reminded me of something. I saw yesterday we did like a promo on the show. They've announced this Fan Choice Awards.
Oh yeah, I was teeing you up for that, and then I forgot I was teeing you up for it.
There's a category.
What is the category?
Best podcast.
Who would be a good candidate for that? I can't think of anybody.
So I called Dan. I was like, Dan, what's the deal with that? Like, how? And he said that there's gonna be like a nominating committee that nominates, and then there'll be like a public vote, kind of like the All-Star game, I think, in basketball, where you can, you know.
Is it frowned upon to lobby for this stuff publicly?
So, I mean, I'm going to try to, like, subtly not tweet about it very much because I don't want to be that dirty. But on these airwaves, we can remind people, like, you know, hey, remind you.
Keep your eyes out, folks. It would be an incredible honor.
It's not till November.
A people's choice. I mean, that's really cool. That means something. And we'll see who's in there. I mean, there's some great stuff out there. I might not even vote for us, but hopefully many of the listeners feel differently. Is there any, you know, best wardrobe for a TV analyst category?
No, there is a handicapper, though, but I'd imagine Andy Serling will win that one.
Yeah, well, he's been at it a long time, and nobody works harder. We'll have to see what happens in that category. And with all these People's Choice Awards, I'm sure it goes beyond this stuff and into, you know, horse of the year equivalent, that kind of thing.
I think so, yeah. I think there was like jockey race call, which will be fun.
That's a cool one.
Best race call, which I actually thought maybe an Eclipse Award for best race call would be cool. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. Jockey, trainer, race call, podcast, handicapper. There's a couple other. I think racetrack food.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know what would win. Do you think
Let's do that one real quick.
I bet you Keelan's bread pudding would be on there. A lot of people like that.
It's good.
Yeah, I think that would probably be on there.
Be careful if it's the burgoo, though. We don't want Benny spilling it on anybody's computer.
There's best drink, too.
Ooh.
I tell you what, if they could change the price. No, it's not even that good, though. The Del Margarita, but it's
not. Just for the name. Yeah, just like the name.
$18, I think.
They're all, I mean, isn't the mint julep and Kentucky Derby? I know it's not particularly good julep, but isn't it one to a thousand? Oh, stop that. You're messing your microphone in your vest there. You can't, you got to sit still. What else? I mean, drink-wise, we're doing some fun stuff on these Sundays at Saratoga up on the porch. We've got to build some momentum for it. We had a pretty good first Speakeasy Sunday with the sales crew in town. But, you know, the sinister effect of getting rid of the Mondays is Sunday being getaway day, they've been very quiet. But if you're here, come on by, check out what we got cooking. I'll tell you, you don't get a lot better racetrack cocktail than what we're calling the Royal Ascot cocktail, which is basically our fake version of Pimm's that Des and I have created up there on Sundays. Folks should come and check that out. And that's another good bit of housekeeping I'm glad came up. All right, JK, you've got a lot to do. I've got a monster pod to record. So we are going to let you go. Say goodbye to the listeners.
Goodbye, listeners.
And we're going to bring in our next guest. And now I'd like to welcome in our friend from Monmouth Park, Brian Skirka. What's been going on, my man? How's the summer been down there on the shore?
It's going by so fast. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's Labor Day is 2 weeks away. Saratoga is, you know, I have it on the TV now, is winding down, I guess you could say, as hard as it is to believe. I can't believe it. Barely seems like summer has started and it's almost over already, which is hard to believe.
Fastest 5 weeks of my life so far, I think. The good news is still some exciting stuff to come up here. And then the Monmouth meet continues on into September. Remind folks like me who've been up here all summer and I've been dying to get down to you when they can come post Labor Day.
So we actually go all the way through October now, which is a big change for us. Now that sports betting is here, we're taking that opportunity to try to combine horse racing and sports betting as much as we can. So we've extended the meet all the way through September. We run Saturdays and Sundays all the way through the end of September. And then even into October, we're going to run here at Monmouth Park every Sunday in October like I said, run on top of the NFL on Sunday. And then on Fridays and Saturdays, in October, we run our Monmouth Park at the Meadowlands meet. So there'll be Monmouth Park racing, in essence, 3 days a week in October, Friday, Saturday up at the Meadowlands, and then Sunday live here at Monmouth Park.
That sounds fantastic. I sense a podcast outing in the offing. We'll have to talk to JK about what his travel schedule is, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's back at Belmont doing some Fox stuff, and maybe we can do some sort of a formal or informal get-together if you'd be up for that. And who knows, maybe even combine it with a little bit of legal football betting.
That would be spectacular. We have a contest. If memory serves, there's a handicapping contest Sunday, October 20th, I want to say. I feel like that's a relatively big day at Woodbine, and we have a Monmouth Woodbine contest that day. So maybe that's a possible day with a contest, and then football, as you said, and live racing as well. But we're up for, if you and JK want to make the trip, we'll host you and accommodate whoever you guys want. That would be great.
I love it. Always fun getting to see horse players at the Monmouth contest. And that's actually where I want to start our conversation today. We have a big one coming up. Why don't you give us the details for folks who are not like me, chained and bound to be up here in Saratoga? Poor me, I know. For Travers weekend, you have the opportunity to go and check it out at Monmouth potentially. What's in the offing?
Sure. So next Saturday, Travers Day, we have our second biggest contest of the year behind the Pick Your Prize contest, which is in June. So next Saturday is a $500, what we call a super qualifier. So we guarantee 6 NHC seats and 2 full Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge seats. And then for every 10 entries above 200, we add an NHC seat. The last few years, we've been lucky enough to be in the 210, 220 range. So typically, we'll probably end up right in the 7 NHC seats, 2 BCBC seats, and then obviously cash prizes as well. Somewhere right in that range. It's Monmouth and Saratoga only. It's a $500 buy-in. You can take up to 3 entries per person for this contest. Win, play, show only, $20 minimum bet per race. As I said, Monmouth and Saratoga only. You have to bet at least 10 total races, and at least 5 of them have to be for Monmouth. But it's typically a very well-attended, contest with people from all over the country taking advantage of the nice prize pool that we're giving up. And obviously the between Monmouth and Saratoga, there'll be some very, very good races that day as well. So typically it's a who's who of the contest world ascends on Monmouth Park for the day, and it's fun.
It makes sense. And a lot of players, there's a lot of locals or players who consider Monmouth anyway their handicapping contest home from all over the Mid-Atlantic. And as much as I love Traverse Day, and you know, we have our special deal on Traverse Day where we sit in the veranda, the area we've rechristened as the DG Lounge, which we have rented for that day. But it's a day where you can, if you don't have a setup at Saratoga, you can get a little bit lost in the crowd. And to be able to go and bet a big, busy day like that from the comfort of Monmouth and to play in a top-level handicapping contest, I can absolutely see the allure. I will put in a completely off-topic plug that we actually have a few spots left at our Saratoga party. If there are any listeners who are not able to make it to Monmouth and are going to be pot committed to being in the Saratoga area and looking for somewhere to sit that day, reach out to me on Twitter at LoomsBoldly or through the contact page in themoneypodcast.com over there and let us know. Maybe you can join us if you can't join Brian and the handicapping contest crew down there. Brian, I want you to talk a little bit about this Saturday's card. We've got the Alabama here. I'm sure it'll be on a lot of the simulcast TVs at Monmouth. But Monmouth had what looked to me like a couple of interesting betting races in addition to the featured Monmouth Oaks, a grade three. Where are you interested in spending some money on this card?
Yeah, so the feature in terms of, you know, name is the Monmouth Oaks. It's race five, a grade three for three-year-old fillies, obviously. And I think because it drew Jaywalk, this is one of those races that, you know, it's good in the sense that we have the star power and we have the defending two-year-old filly champion and Jaywalk is coming off, you know, the best race of her career last time out in the Delaware Oaks. So it's great to have her. On the other hand, it hurts the race a little bit because, you know, all the other trainers and connections out there can read PPs as well. And she's just, you know, she ran a 96 buyer last time and it's a kind of a tough task to go up against her. So it's a short field. It's only five in here, but it's more of a star power race. And it was great to see Jaywalk get back to her normal self last time in the Delaware Oaks after not having won a race since the Breeders' Cup last year. So to see her put on that show last time and to have her here. And with the PPs in front of me, it looks like she's ripe to put on another show on Saturday. So that's kind of maybe a star power race that you just kind of be a fan, quote unquote, and watch or, you know, single and move on and probably not a huge money making opportunity, but it'll be fun to have her. But there's two other races that I was going to try to make a little money with on Saturday, and they're both maiden special weights on the turf. Race eight is for 2 year olds. And then race 10 is for three and up. And in both races, my opinion was kind of based on jockey-trainer combos and just looking through the fields. We'll start with race eight. It's a mile on the turf for two-year-olds. And, you know, I feel like every time I'm on the show here and talking with anyone, really, I just am singing Joe Bravo's praises, especially on the turf course here. He moves the horse up so much, knowing every nook and cranny and when to move and when to cut the corner. So I'm always interested to see in these maiden races on the turf where Bravo ends up. And in race eight, I just found it interesting that Jonathan Thomas has two in there and Bravo's on neither of them. And I'm sure this isn't 100% accurate, but it just seems like every time I look at a program this meet, Bravo has been on pretty much every Jonathan Thomas horse when Bravo has been here, obviously. And for Bravo not to be on either and to be on a Mike Stidham horse in here, and Bravo and Stidham obviously have had plenty of success together, going back to Synchrony and many others. I just found it very interesting that Bravo lands here. It's a first-time starter. The Dam has thrown a five-time turf winner and a couple other winners out there. So it's just kind of an interesting angle of, you know, maybe it's nothing, but I find it interesting that Bravo is on this horse. And then race 10 actually was kind of a same opinion. If you go down the trainer list in race 10, there's a Jonathan Thomas, there's a Chad Brown, there's a Christoph Clement, there's a Michael Stidham actually, who Bravo's riding for in race 8. And Bravo was on none of those horses. He's on a horse named Dr. All Day for John Service, who last time ran on the turf down at Gulfstream back in December and was nearly 50-1. So you look at this horse, and I don't think it's just a case of, okay, Bravo is riding for John Service and DJ Stable, though that's the connections of Jaywalk and the Oaks. I feel like this isn't just kind of one of those, you know, quote-unquote add-ons of, hey, we're going to put him on this horse too. This horse looks like she's working up a storm, you know, two bullets and then a third fastest of 144. There is some turf breeding there. And you're going to certainly get a price. As I said, the horse was 46-1 last time out at Gulfstream. So in those two races, I just find it very interesting that where Bravo lands. You know, he's the king of the Monmouth turf. He could have ridden basically any of these horses and any of these races. I'm sure every trainer, you know, reached out to try to get him. But the fact that he's on, you know, the horse from Michael Stidham in race 8, Alfred is that horse's name, and then Dr. All Day for Service in race 10, I find very interesting. Those are going to be my two plays to look to make some money on Saturday.
I like it, and I think you can certainly do worse than letting the top jockeys and their agents handicap for you in some of these instances. Obviously, sometimes there's a story that goes along with it that has nothing to do with the quality of the mount involved, but you can also find your way onto some winners at decent prices by following that as well. So very interesting ideas there. Talking about Jaywalk and the star power in the Monmouth Oaks, I wonder if it was a Monmouth Oaks. I can't remember, but fairly early in my racing fandom, one of my first trips to Monmouth, I can remember heading down. If it was the Monmouth Oaks, it was at a very different place in the racing calendar back then. But I can remember watching Silver Bullet Day win at Monmouth and randomly ending up sitting in the box next to the Baffert team at that time and watching her roll down the stretch and put on a show. Perhaps Jaywalk will be the one putting on the show on Saturday. I know we'll be watching. We always have our dedicated Monmouth TV up in the veranda, and we're betting simulcast there along with playing all the races at Saratoga. Anything else, Brian, special happening this weekend that we should let the fans know about before we let you get out of here?
No, I mean, just from a racing standpoint, like I said, we have a 13-race card on Saturday. We draw Sunday today. We've been running, you know, either 12 or 13 on Sunday, too. You know, we've been lucky just as you are up at Saratoga. The weather down here has been absolutely gorgeous ever since we got through, you know, Haskell Day and that, you know, that mess around that time. Yeah, the weather has cooled off considerably. It's been really beautiful weather down here. The cards have been really good. Our attendance has been really strong. So the month of August, which was horrific last year for both us and Saratoga when it seemed like it rained every day, is, knock on wood, it seems like that's kind of the opposite this year, and we're really taking advantage and filling races and filling, you know, really good cards. So we're excited for this weekend, and then obviously we're all looking forward as racing fans to Traverse weekend next weekend. And next weekend we do our New Jersey Thoroughbred Festival on Sunday, where we highlight a lot of Jersey bred races, and then boom, we're on to Labor Day already, and there's a lot of stakes races both here and around the country then. So like I said, it's just hard to believe that we're in the middle of August already, and even the Breeders' Cup isn't that far away. But happy to have Jaywalk this Saturday, maybe making her way to the Breeders' Cup out at Santa Anita. But definitely keep an eye on Monmouth's races both this weekend and then all the way through October, because it's going to be a long, fun season still to go.
Let me ask you an impossible question, since the Travers has come up a couple of times. Have you heard any scuttlebutt? Do you think Maximum Security is going to be making the trip north? Putting any inside information aside, do you have a prediction?
I would actually, if I had inside information, I probably would give it to you. Whatever I say is a complete guess. I honestly, hand to God, I have not heard one way or the other if there's any leaning. This isn't a cop-out, but I actually believe this to be true. I think if Jason Service has him exactly where he wants him, but, you know, leading up to Traverse Day, I think he's going to run in the Traverse. If he's not, you know, that 110%, you know, ready to really roll and give his best race, I bet you they skip and run and run in the Pennsylvania Derby. So I guess my kind of pseudo answer is, if he runs in the Travers, I think he's going to be ready to run an absolutely unbelievable race, and it's going to be a bear. I don't think they're going to run him in that race if there's a chance he's going to finish, you know, fourth.
Gotcha.
So if he's in the entry box, I think he's a must use and he's going to be very, very dangerous. And if he's not, you know, 100%, you know, there's you know, there's a $1 million race over at Parks that they can run in to get to the Breeders' Cup. So I unfortunately don't have any inside information to give you, but I guess that's kind of my avoid the question / cop out answer.
That's a fair answer. I asked you an impossible question and you gave me a thoughtful answer. That's all that I can ask for. And it is so funny that in this day and age, as infrequently as so many of the top trainers like to run their top horses, that's another, you'd almost think we've seen horses go from the Travers right to the Breeders' Cup, thinking of Arrogate a couple of years ago. So the idea that they might just make that the rest of the campaign, just pick one more spot. Maybe they like the mile and an eighth more. I don't know. He ran pretty well at the mile and a quarter before. It's probably more about what you were saying, just what kind of tune the horse is in. We will see. We'll learn more about that next week. Brian Skirka, thank you so much for your time today.
Always a pleasure, Pete.
And now I'd like to welcome to the show for his debut appearance from the Woodbine Marketing Department, it's Eric Parente. Eric, how are you?
Hey, Pete, I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, when we have a new guest on the show, we typically like to learn a little bit about their background. I know a bit of your story, but I don't think that the listeners really do. How did you get involved in horse racing?
My father was an owner. He started out as an owner, so I've always been around horses. And then when he got into training is when I took my first trip to a barn. And I believe I was about 12 or 13 years old when I took my first trip and started hot walking. That was my real first encounter with horses. And then it turned out to be looking at the racing form. I started playing the horses, which was a lot of fun. And here I am. I'm now part of Woodbine's marketing team. I did a few years on the maintenance side while on the turf course while I was in school. I studied economics and not really marketing, but I found a love for horses, and I was glad to be able to make it onto the team here in the marketing side.
Well, you've seen the game from a number of different angles, and I know that's got to help. JK and I last night were watching the first few races on the Wednesday evening card, and we were just blown away by the Woodbine product at present. JK made a joke. We looked up and we saw whatever it was, 14 runners in the first race. He's like, man, look, it looks like the Derby. And it's we know the folks we were with too were lamenting some of the prices that they'd seen at other places and super impressed with the betting product and the opportunities that one can get to play at Woodbine. I know that's one of your big initiatives, is to push getting more players getting their eyeballs on this Woodbine signal, because the product offers so many of the things that horse players say they want. What stuff do you have coming up this weekend that you're excited to talk about?
I'm excited to talk about the Breeders' Stakes. It's the third leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. It's a $400,000 Canadian purse. And this race is so exciting because we don't usually see, due to the surface change, I mean, the first leg going to the Queen's Plate is on the synthetic, and then, of course, the Prince of Wales is on the dirt at Fort Erie, and now we shift back to Woodbine for a mile and a half on the turf. So it's a little different, and in this race, we get several horses who were in the Queen's Plate, and two of them being Tone Broke and Aviz Flatter, both contenders in both two first legs in the Triple Crown. So I'm excited for this race. It's a challenge for many of the horses to get the distance and to try the surface. So we're looking forward to it. There's also a two-year-old stakes race on the Saturday card, which has attracted some out-of-town shippers like Owen Hardy's Fair Maiden and Timothy Ham's Fast Scene, who is undefeated at Woodbine. So it's plenty of turf action at Woodbine. And on Sunday, there's also two other turf stakes races. So it'll be a jam-packed turf weekend at Woodbine like usual.
Now, I'm not going to let you get away without giving some selections in these races. I know you're a horse player, among other things. Let's loop back and take them in the order that you mentioned them, starting off with the Breeders' Stakes. From a wagering perspective, who are you the most interested in seeing in here?
So I'm interested in seeing Aviz Flatter. She is the morning line favorite at 2-1. However, Tone Broke, who beat her in his last race, could offer a bit of a challenge. He had cut back to a mile and 3/16 and on the dirt, and was able to sit just off of a V-Slider. So I think in this race they are stretching out. A V-Slider has shown to like the turf, winning the Transylvania at Keeneland early on in the year in its season debut. So I'm looking to see if Tonebroke can just sit off of this horse once again, and maybe with the long E.P. Taylor stretch course we have here, if he can take to the turf, you might get some value on this horse, because I don't think many people will think that he can turf.
Well, that can be a big angle sometimes if you can plot out a trip that can be a winning one and you have reason to believe that the surface, which isn't going to be a problem, that you can get a little bit of juice in those odds. What do you think about the other stake on Saturday at Woodbine?
The other stake is an interesting one. I think there's a lot of speed in this race, and they're stretching out to 6.5 furlongs. And like you know, that E.P. Taylor turf course, it's the longest stretch run in North America. It can be a challenge to a young horse trying turf for the first time. And I'm going kind of against what usually I would go for, which would be a more experienced horse on the turf, because this Fair Maiden coming out of the two-hole for Owen Hardy, shipping up from Arlington Park, looks like an incredible horse. It's by Street Boss, out of a Smart Strike mare. I think this horse will like the turf course here, and it has some speed, and I think it will be able to run off the pace a little bit, especially with all the all the speed on the outside coming from Timothy Ham's horse, Fascine, who wired in both of his starts here at Woodbine, and as well as Western Taffy for Mark Cassie, who just sat off of the pace in a 5-furlong sprint. So I'm looking at Fair Maiden. It goes for the Godolphin Stable, so I think it has some good class to him, and I think he'll like her, and I think she'll like the long stretch run.
Now, I don't know if you've had a chance to look ahead to those Sunday stakes that you mentioned. Are those works in progress for you, or do you have an early view in those?
Those are works in progress right now. Our overnight still hasn't come out yet. Since I last saw, it's about 3 o'clock on Thursday. But those races are both on the turf, and one is a two-year-old race, and one is an overnight stake. So there'll be some competitive fields. I'm excited to see what that form looks like, so I can take an early look at it. But nothing right now I can give to you, Pete.
Fair enough. When you don't have PPs, I'm not allowed to hold your feet to the fire, so that's totally okay. For folks out there who don't know, we've had some additional coverage of Woodbine over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. Our buddy Drew Coatney, the business manager for In the Money Media, not just the business manager, also a handicapper, and he's been doing a good job putting pieces together over there. We encourage folks to look and play along, follow along with those picks, make picks of your own. It's such an interesting betting product up there in Toronto and such a great place to visit. Now, I've talked a bunch already on the show about the Woodbine Mile contest. That's happening on September 14th, and I'm going to be making the trip up there. I know a lot of listeners are planning on it, and we encourage all live bankroll players to take a long look at that contest. Some very player-friendly terms, and such a great time to be in the city of Toronto. But that's not the next contest. There's one coming up Travers weekend as well. Eric, what are the details on that one?
So that one is a $350 buy-in tournament, $100 live bankroll, and it's built really around the races at Saratoga, the Travers, of course. So it'll be a three-track tournament. We're looking at Woodbine, Saratoga, and Gulfstream Park.
What kind of prize pool are you anticipating for this one?
So it's a $350 buy-in, $100 for your live bankroll, and $250 to the prize pool. Total prize pool will depend on how many entries we get. There will be two NHC seats handed out in this tournament.
It's a strong group of players up there north of the border, and obviously some massive success out in the NHC in recent years with Chris Littlemore, of course, Ray Arsenault, who I had the pleasure of seeing last weekend, and then a little bit further back, we had Brian Troop from north of the border. So who knows? The NHC winner could come from this very tournament. It'll be fun to follow. We'll make sure to do, maybe we'll do a little bit of write-up on this one. Hopefully we can get that going. It's always good to see what's happening north of the border. Super strong contingent of contest players and a great place. Hey, we talked earlier in the show with Brian Skirka. For the players down there who can't make it up to the Travers, you can go to Monmouth. For players in western New York or north of the border who don't want to make it all the way to Saratoga, you can go to Woodbine and have a chance to start your contest journey as well. Eric, last question. Where's the best place for folks to find information about this tournament?
Woodbine.com. We have a section under handicapping where you can get horse player tournaments information and other handicapping tools, which will help you get familiar to our product up here north of the border.
Love it. Eric, thank you so much for your time today. Keep up your good efforts, and we will have you back on again soon.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for the time. Have a great one.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the In the Money Players podcast. I want to thank Jonathan Kinchin, Brian Skirka, and Eric Parente, our guests for today. I'd like to thank our sponsors, particularly the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation and 10 Strike Racing, for their continued support. Most of all, I want to thank all of you, the listeners, for making this show so much fun to do. And of course, when you support our partners and sponsors, you're supporting us. If you like what you hear on this show, bet Woodbine, bet Monmouth, along with what you're going to be doing at Saratoga this weekend. There's plenty of time between races, that is for sure. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney, fine horse player himself. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.